I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly, face-to-face. In their debate in Philadelphia, Vice President Harris and former President Trump spar over abortion and immigration. How pro-lifers are responding. A nation remembers.
Gregory Costello Jr.
Elizabeth Krant.
James Leslie Crawford Jr.
Americans across the country honor those killed in the terror attacks of September 11th, 2001. Choosing love. A church leader from the U.S. brings a message of hope and redemption to the International Eucharistic Congress in Ecuador. And do good for others. Before leaving East Timor, the Holy Father meets with several thousand young people. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
For being with us, our top story tonight. Viewers may get to see a second debate between Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. The vice president's campaign is proposing a rematch for next month, but the former president says that he is less inclined because he believes that he had a great night. The two are already sparred over several issues, including abortion.
You should ask, will she allow abortion in the 8th month, 9th month, 7th month?
Come on.
Okay, would you do that? Why don't you ask her that question?
Why don't you answer the
problem.
Question? Would you
because
veto?
Under Roe v. Wade,
answer the question,
you,
would
could,
you, veto?
You could do abortions in the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th
That's
month,
not true.
And probably after birth.
Would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America. And understand what has been happening.
Our pro-life groups accuse Harris of dodging the question about late-term abortions. And we turn now to Marilyn Musgrave, Vice President for Government Affairs at the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America Group. Marilyn, great to be with you. Let's start off with that exchange that we just heard from last night's debate. Your thoughts on that, and do you think the vice president skirted the question about putting restrictions on abortion?
Well, if Kamala Harris ever did a dodge, that was the dodge. She did not answer the question. And all through this campaign, you know, people should be asking her, honest reporters should be asking her, do you support any limits at all? Because, in fact, we know that Kamala Harris does not. And when you think of her talking about restoring the protections of Roe v. Wade, which that phrase is absolutely upsetting to me, but that's what she said. When you think about her support for the Women's Health Protection Act, and if there ever was a bill that was misnamed, that's it. But the so-called Women's Health Protection Act goes even further than Roe and just gets rid of pro-life laws. You know, the states that have worked hard to protect babies, those laws would be overridden by what Kamala Harris wants to do at the federal level, abortion on demand for any reason at any time during the pregnancy. And Donald Trump was really right to push her. You know, what about abortion? 7th month, 8th month? And when Kamala Harris talks about, you know, there's no place where babies are born and then the woman wants an abortion. Well, as a matter of fact, over 30 states have laws that protect an infant that survives a failed abortion, but the other states do not. And Kamala Harris needs to be aware that you know, we know that 270 babies have survived failed abortions, and the Abortion Survivors Network has been in contact with over 700 women whose children, whose babies, have survived failed abortions. So this does take place in our country.
Yeah, and former President Trump, Marilyn, was pressed on a few things, too. It was asked why voters should trust him on the issue of abortion, in part because of his reversing course on Florida's 6-week abortion ban. He didn't really seem to answer that question directly either. That said, do you think the former president's seemingly, you know, back and forth on that issue in Florida, should that give pro-lifers pause?
Well, we certainly want former President Trump, who was very pro-life during his term, to stand up for babies now. And when we look at his comments, we do see that he backed away from saying how he would vote on that terrible ballot initiative in Florida. And it was disappointing when President Trump said he didn't support the six-week ban, because we applaud state legislatures and governors that are taking action to protect babies, unborn babies in their states.
Well, Marilyn, we have to leave it right there. Thank you so much for weighing in. We really appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Now, the presidential debate also covered hot topics like foreign wars, immigration, and the economy. And according to a recent EWTN Real Clear Opinion research poll, the economy is the top issue for Catholic voters nationwide.
They had the highest inflation perhaps in the history of our country, because I've never seen a worse period of time. People can't go out and buy cereal or bacon or eggs or anything else. The people of our country are absolutely dying with what they've done. They've destroyed the economy.
My opponent, on the other hand, his plan is to do what he has done before, which is to provide a tax cut for billionaires and big corporations, which will result in $5 trillion to America's deficit.
A CNN poll shows voters trust Harris on issues like abortion and democracy, and trust Trump on immigration and the economy. And for analysis on this, we turn to Matthew Continetti. He is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Matthew, great to have you back on. So first off, your takeaway from last night's debate, especially on the issue of the economy. Who do you think came out on top there?
Well, I think on the issue of the economy, Donald Trump came out on top. You know, Kamala Harris refused to answer the questions posed to her by the moderators who were on her side. And the first question in that debate was posed to Kamala Harris. And the question was, do you believe that Americans are better off today than they were 4 years ago? She dodged the question. She never said whether she believed that to be the case. Instead, she went back to her plans for entrepreneurs and for housing. Contrast that with Trump, who has a strong economic message, who talks about how he had a tight labor market with no inflation during his first 3 years in office. And I think that answer in particular will resonate with voters in an area, the economy, where Trump already has an advantage.
Matthew, what about policy in general? I mean, do you think that either of the candidates articulated their stance well enough to voters?
Well, I think the real question going into last night's debate was, would Kamala Harris be able to reassure voters that she has the skills and capacity to be the president of the United States? And I think coming away from that debate, we still don't have a clear answer. The fact is, Trump dominated the debate. He tends to dominate any stage he appears on. And he was baited into diverting from his main message on the economy, immigration, and war into kind of personal matters such as, you know, the crowd size or how big an inheritance he received from his father or what he was up to on the day of January 6, 2021. I think those were distractions from Trump's main message. And so Trump couldn't land the knockout punch against Harris. But I also think that Harris did not really fill in the blanks for a lot of undecided voters who are still unsure about her and who still fear that she's just too far left to be the president of the United States.
Matthew, we had mentioned the vice president is polling better on things like abortion and democracy, while former President Trump is better on the economy and immigration. What issues matter the most to voters, do you think? I mean, is there one thing that could be a make or break in this election?
Well, I think without a doubt, the most important issue in this election is the economy. There's an old saying in politics, when the economy is the issue, it's the only issue. And we just had new numbers out from the Census Bureau the other day, which showed that Americans still are not as rich as they were headed into the COVID-19 pandemic in the final year of Donald Trump's presidency. So that's a pay cut for every American under the Biden presidency. And so that's going to hurt Kamala Harris. You know, she pretends that she is different from Biden. And while it's true that they, yes, are different people, the fact is, if you listen to her closely last night at the debate, there is no difference in tone or policy between her and the incumbent unpopular president of the United States.
Matthew, almost out of time here, but what was your big takeaway from all this?
My takeaway is that this is a toss-up election, and it's going to go down to the wire. And you would think that would favor the outsider, Donald Trump, but Harris still could make a play for those undecided voters to say, you know what, let's have an end to the Trump era. I don't know if she'll be able to close the deal, but she still has a chance after last night.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for weighing in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, on Capitol Hill, lawmakers were eager to react to last night's debate, many waiting to see how the performances of Vice President Harris and former President Trump could affect their races. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has more on that. Eric.
Good evening, Tracy. Reaction to the debate broke along party lines, as we might expect. I did speak with a number of lawmakers to get their thoughts. Now, Republicans agreed with critics that at times it felt like President Trump was debating not only the vice president, but also the two ABC commentators.
Don't fact check me and then not fact check the other person. So fact check, do the same thing for everybody. Don't be, because it appeared to be biased. I mean, everybody gets to do the debate the way they want to do it.
Others say Kamala Harris still hasn't laid out her vision.
She attacked Donald Trump. Donald Trump was focused on what matters to the American people, which is securing our border, getting an economy thriving and rising again for all of the American people, and getting out of these conflicts that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has gotten the United States into.
And House Speaker Mike Johnson posted on social media, quote, tonight proved why America desperately needs President Donald Trump back in the White House. He will again deliver a secure border, the best economy in history, and peace through strength. Together, we will make America great again. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Mitt Romney says the debate worked out for both candidates.
Last night's debate, I thought President Trump prosecuted his case as he wanted to. I think the vice president was able to demonstrate that people's questions about could she answer questions from the media or not, those were answered well. She spoke well.
Democrats stood behind Vice President Harris, saying that she effectively laid out her case to voters.
But I just thought she looked like a president, and Donald Trump kind of looked like a puddle by the end of that debate. There was only one president on that stage, and it was Kamala Harris, and that probably answers some of the most important questions that voters have.
House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries wrote on X, quote, Kamala Harris didn't come to play. She is a leader. We need to lead America into the future, onward to victory.
By the way, I want to let you know about another issue. House Republicans were supposed to vote on a continuing resolution to keep the government funded past this month, but that has been pulled from the floor. House Speaker Mike Johnson has decided to pull it from the floor after Republican opposition. He says work will continue throughout the weekend, but still wants the provision barring illegal migrants from voting to remain. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including somber anniversary. Leaders across the country commemorate the September 11th terror attacks and an update on the worsening wildfires in California. Welcome back. 23 years ago today, on September 11th, 2001, terrorists killed thousands of people when they hijacked four airplanes, flying them into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a rural field in Pennsylvania. Today, all those lives lost were remembered, including at Ground Zero, where President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump gathered, along with Vice President Kamala Harris and Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, it's been nearly a quarter century now since that terrible day, 9/11. And here in the middle of a bitter presidential campaign, the two nominees putting their political attacks to the side for a moment, at least, here on this day of remembrance.
With President Joe Biden standing near them, former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris at Ground Zero, shaking hands, the anniversary ceremony at the World Trade Center bringing the presidential nominees face to face. Just hours earlier, their first ever debate Tuesday night, confrontational and contentious at times. But on this solemn anniversary, honoring the thousands of lives lost, a quiet, dignified scene of civility and respect, the focus not on the campaign, but instead on the victims and families.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight
Dana Patrice Bell.
Debbie S. Bellows.
Stephen Elliott Belson.
Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance moved on from the World Trade Center ceremony to visit a New York City firehouse, where he met with firefighters and took photos. Trump also visited the Flight 93 National Memorial near rural Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where one of the planes crashed after crew members and passengers fought back. President Biden and Vice President Harris visited there as well, laying a wreath at the memorial. And at the Pentagon, also struck by a plane, a ceremonial wreath laying there as well. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the damage to the building has been repaired.
But we cannot repair the damage to your hearts. No words can take away your grief. No amount of time can make sense of the worst terrorist attack in American history.
Also, an American flag was unfurled at dawn in tribute.
There are 184 memorial benches at the Pentagon representing those who lost their lives on the plane and in the building. Secretary Austin said the men and women who work at the Department of Defense will always remember, and that the Pentagon itself is a memorial. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Okay, thank you, Owen. We will never forget. All right, now to California, where tens of thousands of people have been evacuated due to major wildfires erupting amid an intense heat wave. As you can see in this video right here, the skies in San Bernardino County turned the sky orange as apocalyptic-looking plumes fall from the sky. Firefighters have been working in temperatures above 100 degrees, but as temperatures cool down, they are making headway. Hurricane Francine is set to make landfall in Louisiana, and people there are making their final preparations. Forecasters are warning residents of a potentially deadly storm surge, destructive winds, and widespread flooding. Officials are asking residents to stay in place to allow first responders and utility crews working to repair the downed power lines there. All right, now to the Middle East, where Israeli airstrikes hit a United Nations school and homes in Gaza. Displaced Palestinians were sheltering at the school, but the Israeli military claimed Hamas militants were hiding there. Hospital officials say at least 14 people died, including two children, in that blast. Overnight, a designated humanitarian zone in Gaza was struck. Witnesses said the bombing was so intense, and you can see by the size of the craters right there, the Hamas-run health ministry reported 19 people were killed in that attack. And now to the war in Ukraine, where Secretary of State Antony Blinken announces more than $700 million in humanitarian aid to the war-torn country.
The bottom line is this: we want Ukraine to win, and we're fully committed to keep marshaling the support that it needs for its brave defenders and citizens to do just that.
During a joint visit to Ukraine alongside the British Foreign Secretary, the two leaders stressed their commitment to Ukraine. This comes as relations between Ukraine and its Western partners are growing strained by repeated appeals for Kyiv to use long-range missiles into Russia. The Secretary of State says that he will, quote, take that discussion back to Washington. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, the power of Holy Communion. A church leader from Minnesota shares a reflection at the International Eucharistic Congress. Hear what he had to say. Plus, Pope Francis spends his last day in East Timor as he gets ready for the final leg of his apostolic journey. Eucharistic Congress in Quito today featured a church leader from Minnesota. Bishop Andrew Cousins was among the leaders of the National Eucharistic Congress over the summer here in the United States. Today, he delivered a message about the power of receiving Holy Communion.
How are we to establish true fraternity that saves the world? It's through this surrender of myself. This is what brings about true fraternity. True fraternity happens through forgiveness, through self-offering, through the laying down of my life for the sake of my brothers or sisters. And this is what the Eucharist wants to teach us and allow us to understand so that we can invite the world to taste and experience His glory here.
Bishop Cousins also discussed the redemptive power of suffering, saying through the Eucharist, our pain and trouble can have value. And joining us now from Quito, Ecuador, is Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. Matthew, great to be with you as always. So can you tell us more about what Bishop Andrew Cousins said and also the topics that he focused on?
Yes, well, in a Eucharistic Congress, the 53rd International Eucharistic Congress that has had some fairly impressive speakers so far, Bishop Cousins' presentation stands out in particular. He reflected, as was the request, on the Transfiguration and the Eucharist as a reminder to everyone of the place of the Eucharist in the heart of the world. And here we are, it's sort of almost the top of the world, reflecting on the theme of this Eucharistic Congress, which is fraternity to heal the world. And one of the points that one can take away from his brilliant presentation is that the Eucharist really does impel us toward reconciliation, toward that fraternity, and that we have to go out and to bring about reconciliation and that fraternity, and that the Eucharist is, aside from that being the heart of the world, the source for us as Christians, as people who want to love and who to bring that love to the rest of the world.
Dr. Bunsen, before I let you go, what have been your big takeaways so far?
Yeah, well, I think that the biggest takeaway is that we have heard over the last few days in various themes the many, many problems facing the world. But we're reminded of the centrality of the Eucharist as that source and summit of the Christian life, that we really are called to embrace the Eucharist and then to carry that Eucharistic love out into the world. There's a lot more ahead of us, including the Eucharistic procession that'll be taking place here on Saturday. But it's clear that the organizers understood that they could not come into a Eucharistic Congress like this without a very keen awareness of the many problems facing the world today, and how the Eucharist, how our Lord, is a solution to all of them.
Well, Dr. Matthew Bunsen joining us from Quito, Ecuador. We appreciate it. God bless. And finally tonight, it has been an intense past 48 hours for Pope Francis. He wraps up his time in East Timor, one of the most Catholic and youngest countries in the world. The Holy Father then left for Singapore, the final stop on his 12-day journey. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sittigren has more.
Pope Francis is nearing the end of his apostolic journey. The Holy Father concluded his three-day visit to the tiny Southeast Asian nation of East Timor this morning by meeting with young people who make up over 60% of the population. Hundreds of them were eagerly waving Vatican flags as they welcomed the Pope at the Congress Center, where a group performed a traditional dance for him. Before delivering his speech, Pope Francis heard testimonies from four youths. He then praised them for their enthusiasm in living the faith and urged them to recall the sacrifices of their forefathers.
But don't forget one thing. You are the heirs of those who preceded you, founding this nation. And so never forget, never lose your memory. The memory of those who made so many sacrifices to found this nation.
Pope Francis recalled the country's battle for independence, which was achieved in 2002, and spoke to those in the crowd about the value of freedom and fraternity.
You, in this smiling country, have a marvelous history of heroism, of faith, of martyrdom, and above all, of faith and reconciliation.
After the meeting, the Holy Father boarded the papal flight to the fourth and final leg of his journey, the multi-religious and multicultural city-state of Singapore. Pope Francis was welcomed at the airport by civil authorities, religious brothers, and dancing children. As in every country, the Pope was also greeted by cheering crowds along the streets. Later in the evening, the Holy Father held his customary encounter with his brother Jesuits at the St. Francis Xavier Retreat Center, where he will be hosted for the duration of his stay. In Rome, Benedict Sittigren, EWTN News Nightly.
And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.